This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. When you think about mainstream media, who does it serve? Despite the demographics of the United States shifting rapidly away from a white majority, historically, mainstream media ownership and newsrooms have been dominated by white people, white males in particular. And still today, newsroom reporters are more likely to be white and male than U.S. workers overall by about 12%, according to a 2018 Pew Research study. How does that affect which stories get covered and which stories get left behind? How does that affect how communities of color get covered? Black media has a long and illustrious history in Illinois. The Chicago Defender was founded in 1905 by Robert S. Abbott. It attracted the likes of Langston Hughes, Ida B. Wells, Gwendolyn Brooks to write for the publication, and it played an essential role in reporting and engaging black communities during the eras of segregation, Jim Crow, the Great Migration, and the Civil Rights Movement. At its height, it's estimated each paper sold was read by 5 African Americans, a weekly readership of 500,000. But like so many publications, the Chicago Defender ceased print publication in 2019 and went to an online-only format. Meanwhile, today, Latinos make up the largest growing demographic in Illinois, growing by more than 300,000 people since the 2010 census. But is there equity in access to news for native Spanish speakers in Illinois, comprising more than 15% of the state's population? Joining us now to help answer some of these questions and look at how Black and Latino-focused publications fill the void left by mainstream media are 4 leaders who work in or with Black and Latino-focused publications. Hermine Hartman is the founder and publisher of Indigo, a journalistic media organization based in Chicago, founded in 1989. Hermine, thank you for joining us today. And Michelle Kinnar is the co-founder and art director of Borderless Magazine, a nonprofit news outlet based in Chicago, covering immigrants and communities of color. Good morning, Michelle, and welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Brian.
And Lord Mike Williams is the president of the Peoria Black Chamber of Commerce, marketing and communications director for the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce, and a former radio host on Power 92.3 in Peoria. Mike, welcome to the 21st.
It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning.
And Linda Siete is the general manager for Reflejos, a weekly bilingual publication published by the Daily Herald Media Group. Linda, thank you for coming on the program as well.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Listeners, as ever, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. We would especially like to hear from people of color. Do you think the mainstream media does a good job covering your community? Where do they succeed? Where do they fail? What would you like to see changed? Or where do you go to get better coverage? Call us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. So, Hermine, I want to begin with you. You founded and began publishing Indigo in 1989. Can you talk a little bit about its history and why you started it?
So I started Indigo because I did not like the news coverage that was being done on Black Chicago. I thought there was so much missing, and I wanted to add to that. I wanted to add to the landscape of news media in Chicago. I wanted to have something to say about the narrative. I wanted to showcase, I wanted to highlight, I wanted to provide perspective, opinion, and insight into happenings in Chicago from an African-American viewpoint that I did not see existing. I didn't see it in white press, absolutely did not. And I did not necessarily see what I wanted to see in Black press. So I did a lot of research, did a lot of marketing research, talking to people on the street on what they would like to see, and formulated Indigo with some friends who were media types, but not in the media. I saw the racism. I wanted to address it. And I wanted to bring about some change.
Linda, you're the general manager for Reflejos, a weekly bilingual publication published by, as I said, the Daily Herald Media Group. It focuses on Latino communities. Can you talk about that outlet's history and objectives?
Sure. Reflejos was started, well, we're in our 31st year this year, as a matter of fact. And it was started in Elgin by an Anglo, pretty much like myself, who saw the demographic of the community changing. And then it was switched to a bilingual publication. And we have continued that because the focus of our publication is really to educate the community as much as we can. Like during the pandemic, we found that we wanted to provide more information, not just in English, but also in Spanish, because for many, that was unavailable. And to me, especially because I've been heading Reflejos now, this is my 20th year with the company. If people have education and understand what's going on, then they have a better chance of navigating. So we connect with a number of the agencies that work with the Latino community. We make sure that we're part of many of the groups. Our footprint is from Waukegan to Joliet, and that's because those are pretty much the main, what we term plazas, where there is an abundance of Hispanic communities and outlets where folks can get, and they can read us online as well. We also have an e-edition that we put out, but it's really to give them the information necessary for them to navigate the environment that they're in, rather than being like a general market publication that simply has an opinion. When I came to Reflejos 20 years ago, I came from a very varied background, and part of it was, you know, do we just tell them what to do? And mine was, no, you don't do that. You let people make up their own minds if you arm them with sufficient information. Pretty much exactly what Hermine is saying too. I read her publication every day because I get it online every day. Part of this is when people are armed with the facts and information, they can make up their own mind. It's getting that information to them really in an unbiased manner. It's, you know, helping them along the way. And being bilingual, you know, our focus has been too, we're very heavily used in classrooms because over 50% of every classroom in the state of Illinois now is Latino. You have the Latino population through the 2020 census that's grown by 23% versus general market, which has grown by 7.
Sure.
We've done, you know, the colleges came to us because granted they had bilingual counselors, but you had students who were basically trained in the school system in more in English and parents who felt more comfortable in Spanish. But by the same token, you're talking to them in terminology they were totally unfamiliar with. So we do our college and career guides in a bilingual format so that everyone in the family can join in that conversation.
Oh, interesting. All right. Yeah. So let me bring Mike Williams into the conversation. As president of the Peoria Black Chamber of Commerce, as well as your work for the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce, one of the objectives of the organization is working closely with Black media throughout Illinois. Can you talk about those efforts and the importance of Black media serving Black communities?
Well, absolutely. And I would first off start by giving a shout out to the legendary Harmeen Hardman. You know, she's an absolute legend in the publishing world, and she's a dear friend and supporter of the Illinois State Black Chamber. And I also see that our president and CEO, Larry Ivory, is on the call as well, too. So I want to give him a special shout out because he's always been at the tip of the spear for equity for Black communities, Black-owned businesses particularly. And, you know, the importance of Black media kind of it reflects the importance of the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce. The messaging for the content that we need, it has to be calibrated and sensitized to our demographic, to our people. And there's so many issues that are relative to the Black community, particularly Black-owned business communities, that's simply not being presented to them in the appropriate ways. As well as, you know, there's a lack of the appropriate utilization of Black-owned media outlets in the critical messaging to Black communities. For example, with the COVID concerns that have all risen and the various channels of pandemic resources that kind of missed the Black community, the Black-owned media outlets weren't really properly utilized in that messaging. So and that kind of harkens back to how you opened the show up, speaking about that plethora of just impactful things that happened in Black communities in America. Look at the parallels of how they were covered in the mainstream media or the white media, and look at how they were covered in the black media, which was, you know, very small at that time. But you look at the parallels of the way it was covered. It's just essential that we have to be able to not just share the messaging, but we have to be able to control our narrative, to be able to really speak to our people. And that's why black media is so important.
And Mike, both you and Linda mentioned COVID-19 and how that's been covered. And I want to come back to that a little, but and we do need to take a break in about a minute here. But before we do, Michelle, I do want to just give you an opportunity to introduce Borderless Magazine. It's a nonprofit news outlet you founded in Chicago covering immigrants and communities of color. Can you just talk before the break briefly about why you saw the need to start Borderless?
Yeah, sure. I just want to say real quick, today is our 2-year anniversary, so I'm realizing we're the newbies on the call.
Congratulations.
But I'm really excited. Thank you. The Chicago area, 20% of the population here is immigrant. But in the last decade, we've seen a huge cut, you know, about half of the outlets that were either primarily serving immigrant audiences or offering like nuanced or bilingual coverage of immigrant communities, you know, like the Tribune's OI, have been cut. So that's a huge disservice, especially when we see, like all of you have mentioned, that this is a growing community. Yeah. That we need to make sure, yeah, that we're providing resources to.
Okay, we're gonna continue talking about this. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do need to take a break on our fixed clock here. We're gonna spend the rest of the show talking about news outlets that aim to serve particularly Black and Latino readers, immigrant communities, as we were just hearing. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us. More to come on the 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're spending the rest of our program today talking about news outlets focused primarily on serving news consumers who are Black and Latino immigrants as well. And this is part of our week-long series of coverage called Who Controls the News. To talk about this, we're speaking with Hermine Hartman, who's the founder and publisher of Indigo, which is a Chicago-based outlet founded in 1989. Michelle Kinnar is the co-founder and art director of Borderless Magazine, a nonprofit news outlet based in Chicago, covering immigrants in communities of color. Lord Mike Williams is president of the Peoria Black Chamber of Commerce, marketing communications director for the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce, and a former host on Power 92 in Peoria. And Linda Siete is the general manager for Reflejos, a weekly bilingual publication that's part of the Daily Herald media group in the suburbs of Chicago. 800-222-9455. Especially if you are a person of color, do you think the mainstream media does a good job covering your community? What would you like to see change? Or where do you go to get that better coverage? 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So before the break, Michelle, I was talking to you about the founding of Borderless Magazine. You mentioned it's been 2 years today, so congratulations on that. I understand, I think something like 44% of your readers read in Spanish. Can you talk about the response you've gotten from Spanish-speaking readers and maybe what you hear from them about, you know, the rest of the news landscape that's out there?
Yeah, sure. That's true. It's 44% of our readership who are reading us in Spanish. We're also publishing in Arabic, Mandarin, and Filipino, and hoping to do that more regularly as well in the future. But I will say it's not just about having the stories be accessible and having them in Spanish, but it's also about the whole reporting process. You know, since a lot of the stories we're doing are in the Latinx community, it's important that we're interviewing people in the language they're most comfortable in. So a lot of times that is Spanish. And then it's also important to be able to share back with their family and their community in the language that they, you know, speak and read. So those are some other aspects about having this, you know, having this being a bilingual outlet. I think like the main feedback we get is that people aren't used to that. They're used to a lot of times being interviewed in English when they're not the most comfortable in that language. And, you know, being interviewed is intimidating. It's it's a scary process. And a lot of people, especially people from marginalized communities, you know, no one's taught them how to go through this. No one's taught them about the questions and things like that. So making sure that people are the most comfortable that they can be is an important part of that, about giving them that access and that, you know, and making sure that they have agency. Yeah, so that's, I think that's the main thing that we've heard from people about our language accessibility.
Hermine Hartman, I wonder in what ways, in your view, you mentioned that you were motivated to found Indigo because of failures of the mainstream media. What ways do you think that mainstream media continues to fail Black readers in particular? What would you like to see changed?
Well, it's content and coverage. I would like to see some more opinion pieces. You know, they act like Black folks don't think about things. What do Black folks think about Trump? What do Black folks think about the redistricting map? It's, let me explain something. In July of 2021, the New York Times wrote an article called How the White Press Wrote Off Black America. And in the article, in the very first paragraph, they talk about white newspapers did not consider African Americans as persons. They were non-persons. So if a person is a non-person, you don't worry about the coverage of that person because they don't exist for all practical purposes. I knew that from experience, but now I know it factually that that is what white newspapers actually did. You can call it racism, you can call it whatever you want, but they did not cover. So in the process of not covering, you lost a history, business people lost opportunities, and on and on and on. You can talk about how the flavor of Blackness did not exist. It began to exist with basketball, and it began to exist with entertainment. Let me give you a couple of examples. Marian Anderson, I watched a documentary this Sunday on Marian Anderson, one of the greatest voices in America, one of the greatest voices of our century. And it was a Black newspaper, the Philadelphia Tribune, who claimed her voice, who claimed her greatness very early on. They were the very first ones to write about her. And she went on, of course, to be the great person that she became. Eleanor Roosevelt gets a lot of credit for bringing Marian Anderson to Washington to play, to do her concert in front of the Lincoln Mall. However, the concept for that came from Walter White, who was at the NAACP and editor of the Crisis magazine. Eleanor heard about it and ran with the idea. So we have so much of our history for Black folks that is absolutely missing, ignored. You look at the, we've seen the 100th anniversary of Tulsa. That was a cover-up. That was a media, white media cover-up. The way they talked about it eventually in white media. And if you go to Black newspapers and read about it, it's two different incidents. It's two different stories. They're not one and the same. So I think when you say what's missing from today, that's still a part of what's missing from today's coverage. And as we see the cuts and the slashing of media in mainstream, you know who's cut first. You know what reporters are cut first. You know what news is cut first. So we are still missing the wealth and the richness and the soul of coverage. And it's damn shame. Now, how do you correct it? It's not with less staff, it's with more staff. You've got to add to it. Your question initially is about the news and who's who controls the news. Facebook is really controlling the news. That's who's really controlling the news right now. And no matter who you are, the Tribune, Indigo, or whatever, that is what we're all kind of looking for the pure content. And the reason that they are successful is that the content is pure. It's not edited. It is a pureness of what people deem important. And what they deem important is not necessarily what maybe what we as professional media people deem important, but it's important. You look at this stuff and you see a squirrel climbing up the tree and the police come and get him, and that's big news. Doesn't make sense to me, but it makes sense to somebody because 50,000 people looked at it.
Yeah.
Look at Kim Kardashian. No talent, no nothing, but she's got more friends than probably any of us here. So, I mean, you've got to look at it's still the content, 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 content. Perspective, 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 insight, insight, insight. Those are the things that are missing from mainstream media. Even as they cover, even as Black folk are covered differently than, say, before, years and years before, in a traditional way, we still see that content in a different light. It's edited content. It's not pure.
And we're going to come back later this week to sort of talk about the Facebook algorithm and the role that that plays in the news landscape and who controls the news. But Linda, I want to come back to something you were talking about earlier, and that's COVID-19. The mainstream media has often, I say, overlooked, undercovered the racially disproportionate effects of the pandemic, especially in Black and Spanish-speaking communities. How did Reflejos keep its community informed? And how did its coverage differ from those of mainstream outlets?
Part of that was making sure that between our health departments in all of our counties, we worked with them closely. And we made sure that everything was available in English and in Spanish so that people were getting the direct information. We also connected that information to many of the organizations that are out there, because we have organizations that the community will look to for some of their basic needs. It could be that the families are new here, they don't know where to go to apply for, let's say, a driver's license even, or things of that nature. And so many of these organizations deal directly with the community, and by putting that information in their hands, they could share it. We also are lucky enough to be connected to a number of medical facilities that deal within the Latino community here in the suburbs, and we made sure we shared that information. The same was connecting with the state and our state outreach person to make sure that our Latino business owners became aware of grants and funding that was available and how they should process through that. Because again, you're talking about the mainstream media. I think part of the problem for mainstream media, and I can feel the pain as I listen to Hermine, is there's a discomfort in this country that I have fought with for any number of years because I was raised very differently. And when people see people who are a different color, have an accent, whatever, they tend to close up. And I've learned over the years that that's because they feel they're very unsure of themselves. That is the reason for that. And then having the past administration, which truly came out attacking the community that I serve from the get-go, there is no replacement. We all have a place here. Everyone brings wealth. And as Hermine is saying about history, you know, Blacks and Latinos have contributed so much in armed services, in music, in literature, in the arts, in all forms. There have been heroes. And when that is buried and no one's willing to address it or bring it to the front, it's kind of like, no, it's not just a monogenous group of people. You know, I keep looking at people and saying, we are not just a single language community anymore. And we need to embrace all of the different ethnicities that are here because that is what makes us a great country. And it's, you know, it's a shame that every time politicians, whatever party, get into office, they all try, but no one seems to be able to break that barrier. And I'm hoping at some point in time that that does happen. But we as individuals have to do our part too. And mine has always been to say, we are lucky enough in what we do and with the advertisers we work with and everything. Just these last year and this year were the only 2 years we would not be able to do an event. We've already given out over $35,000 in scholarships to Latino students, because to me, they are the future.
Okay.
And so part of that.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt. We only have about 2 minutes left. And so I do want to sort of go big picture here on this conversation. Mike, I want to ask you, and again, really, really briefly, I'm afraid I have to ask, but what kinds of stories and coverage would you like to see in the media from your perspective as working with Black Chambers of Commerce?
Right. So what we do, we actually have a pretty strong Black media platform, and our entire platform is really dedicated to uncovering and bringing solutions to the economic disparities that are plaguing the Black communities, okay, and Black businesses particularly. So what we've done is we have a number of different formats that we utilize. We have a radio show on WVON 1690 every Saturday morning where we do just that, unfiltered truths and speaking to the subject matter. We also have the relaunch of our monthly publication, the Chamber News Journal, that'll be relaunching here next month, where we focus in on all of the top items that we need to share with the Black community. And we also broadcast live from our Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce YouTube channel so that we can control the narrative of the disparities and how we speak to it. So there's so many different things. You know, we have shelter market issues, we have procurement issues. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different municipal and governmental issues, as well as corporate and things like that. So really grounding ourselves in a true media broadcasting platform so we can share this information is the way that we speak to it.
Mike Williams is president of the Peoria Black Chamber of Commerce. We've also been speaking with Linda Siete, general manager for Reflejos, part of the Daily Herald Media Group. Michelle Kinnar is co-founder and art director of Borderless Magazine, which covers immigrants and communities of color. And Hermine Hartman is the founder and publisher of Indigo. I want to thank them all so much for being here to help us launch Who Controls the Newsweek for a discussion of Black and Latino media in Illinois today. That is all the time we have for our program. We're going to continue the conversation all this week. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey.